Take a look at the last few verses this evening. Acts chapter 15. Here in Acts chapter 15, that is a bit surprising. You and I understand that God has a perfect will for the way things are to be done, don't you? And you would think, if you were going to pick some heroes of the faith in the New Testament, I'd definitely pick these two fellows, Barnabas and Paul. Both of them filled with the Holy Spirit, walked with God, served God sacrificially, were very instrumental in the strengthening of the church in Antioch, and then instrumental in the missions that took place, these missionary journeys. And Paul's first missionary journey has ended. He has come back, and he's reported. And now, and it starts off kind of interesting if you look in verse 36. It says, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God of the Lord and see how they do. And that's kind of a casual way to say it. Let's go see how these folks are doing. And have you ever thought, and I've learned not to do this, have you ever thought, this is such a pleasant thing, this is going to go well. Everybody's going to want to do this. I mean, they're going to want to be a part of this. They're going to want to, Barnabas, let's go see how these folks are doing. I think Paul, at that point, was probably thinking, this is a pleasant opportunity. But something didn't go right. And there was some disagreement. I'll use that word for now. And so you ask yourself, was God in it? Well, God used it. Was God in it? Well, we'll see. You can have your opinion. I might share mine. But we do know one thing. It didn't go the way Paul thought it would. It did go well. And we're going to see that. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here. Acts chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse 36, and I'll read those last few verses there down to verse 41. The Bible says, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Father, thank you this evening for the blessing it is to meet with the brethren. I pray you'd make this service tonight special to each of us and give us a good time in your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It is a fact. You've done it. I've done it. There will be disagreements between God's people. Hopefully, the reason that we have disagreements is because we're all striving to please the Lord. We want things to be done as well as they can for Him. That's not always the case, however. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Sometimes the reason people disagree is because they think their idea is better than yours, and they want to somehow promote themselves. I've seen that happen an awful lot. Sometimes, the Bible says in Proverbs 26:1, there are some people that are just contentious, as coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And I have been in many church meetings to where even before the meeting began, I know who's going to speak up tonight. I know who's going to make themselves known. And they're going to try to sow some discord or cause some disruption. There are some people that are like that. Romans 12:18 says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that's a good way to be, isn't it? Try to avoid the conflict. Sometimes you have to stand up and say, this is right, this is wrong. I don't think you can say that Paul or Barnabas were contentious men. In fact, I do believe that they were seeking to do what was right and to have a peaceable relationship with one another. I do not think pride is the issue here. It was just a matter of practice that John Mark had quit the company and gone home. And that's very disruptive to the company. And we read the story earlier already. The Bible didn't make a big deal out of it, but they started the first missionary journey and they hadn't gone very far. And Mark said, this is not for me. And folks, when people quit, it discourages other folks. Now, you don't serve God because somebody else serves God. You serve God because you love Him. Amen? And you're not faithful because somebody else is faithful, but it sure does help when other people are faithful. When I see somebody serving and I know that they're struggling, perhaps they have issues in their life that hold them back, or health issues or financial issues or whatever, and they serve anyway, that encourages me. And so be that encouraging person by being faithful. That wasn't what John Mark did. Now, we are commanded to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says this, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." Charity, of course, is love. "It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." If you love your fellow church members, if you love your fellow believers, it will change the way you deal with them. And when you do have to disagree with them, you will do it with love, and you'll do it with Scripture, and you'll do it in a way that edifies and builds up rather than tears down. So there's a lot of structure around this in the Bible as to how to deal with some things that when it comes to contention. But you can't get past the fact that in verse 19, it was sharp. It caused them to go separate ways. And I won't speculate on the conversation, but I will tell you the outcome. Barnabas said, "I'm taking Mark and going over here." And Paul said, "I'm taking Silas and going over here." Now, just in case I forget to tell you later, now you got two missionary teams. And they're both blessed by God, although we don't hear a lot about Barnabas. I will tell you some more about Mark later on. But you got to remember, we are not permitted to rise up against authority. You cannot use Acts 15:36 as an excuse to be contentious. There was not an authority issue here. It was not that Paul was in authority or Barnabas was in authority. If there had been authority, I assure you that those men would have abided by that. In other words, there was not pastoral authority at question here. They're both highly qualified men. If you had to pick one, I'd probably have to pick Paul. But there wasn't a question of who was in charge or a question of even maybe who was right. It was just the fact that they saw things a different way. When you get to heaven, if you've got any unanswered questions about that, you can ask them then. But the Bible tells us quite a lot. John, whose surname was Mark, is first introduced to us back in Acts chapter 12. Now, Mark was his Roman name, which actually superseded his Jewish name, which was John. And I may have mentioned this to you before, but in Venice, there is a place called St. Mark's Cathedral. Mark is the patron saint of Venice, and he is sometimes portrayed in artwork as a lion. He was undoubtedly, in his life, he was a great servant of God. He was not a failure. He was not a quitter. We'll see that later. But there was an event in his life where he did fail and where he did quit. And simple lesson from that, folks, don't give up on people. You say, "Well, there's a young person and he failed." Yeah, well, I did too. And you did too. And aren't you glad somebody came and picked you up and dusted you off and kept you going? And praise the Lord, let's do that for somebody else. So Mark, he is, by the way, in Colossians 4:10, if you want to see the proof of this, he is a cousin of Barnabas. There's a relationship here. There is a family relationship. And you can kind of see Barnabas thinking that, wouldn't it be great if my cousin would serve God wonderfully? Well, we'd like to see everyone serve God wonderfully, but wouldn't it be great if my cousin would serve God? And so Barnabas is thinking, I'm not going to let that event during that first missionary journey stop me from trying to bring this young man along. And again, just for the record, he succeeded. I'll show you that in a second. But in the meanwhile, there's this relationship. It was Mark's, interestingly, by the way, it was Mark's mother's house where the people were praying for Peter's release from prison back in Acts chapter 12. Remember that? Where Peter was in prison and they were praying, and they were in Mark's mother's house, and they were praying, and God set Peter free, and he came to the door, and the young lady said, "Oh, it can't be him. It's got to be his ghost or something," when they talked to her, and because they couldn't believe it. But that was Mark's house. So there's a lot of history here with this family and with the work of the Lord and with Peter. Mark departed from Paul and Barnabas in Acts 12:25, and you don't need to go back and read that. During the early part of that first missionary journey, he departed from the company and he returned to Jerusalem, Acts 13:13. We only know that was his decision based on Acts 16:38. We don't know a whole lot else about it, but I can tell you from experience, you got to remember that's the very same journey where Paul was stoned and left for dead. They were being persecuted by the Jews, and I do not know what Mark saw or what he experienced, but as I mentioned this morning, sometimes God asks us to do things that are difficult, and Mark looked at it, and he thought, somehow this is not something I'm able to do. And given the benefit of the doubt, he went back home. So now we see this story, and I won't be too redundant, but Paul invites Barnabas to return to the brethren in every city and see how they're doing. And Barnabas says, "Let's take John Mark," and Paul says, "Let's not." Paul didn't have confidence in Mark. Mark had quit. Paul didn't think Mark ought to go again. He didn't think that Mark was going to be a help to the company. And so there was the sharp disagreement in verse 39, and it became so unsolvable that it couldn't be resolved, so that they went in different directions. Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus, and Paul and Silas went through Syria and Cilicia. So one of them went a land route north, and one of them took the sea route, and now you got two missionary teams. We'll hear more about that in the next weeks. Reasons for sharp contention. Some of the reasons that there is sharp contention. Sometimes we just dislike someone because they're not like us or because they offend us, and we might stand up against them. That's not a Christian thing to do, by the way. Sometimes we refuse to forgive someone. That's not a Christian thing to do. Sometimes we misjudge people, over or underestimate them. Sometimes we expect too much of someone. Sometimes we cannot work with others. We don't want to consider their ideas. We think our way is the only way. These are not good reasons for contention. Sometimes we are just put in a situation to where we're bound to fail. When I first got active in church in Salt Lake City, my wife and I moved there in 86, and we were there just a short time, and we became a part of Anchor Baptist Church, and Anchor Baptist Church had a school. And I became a deacon sometime about a year later, and I remember the assistant pastor came to me one day and he said, "You know, there's a bunch of things we need done around the school, and we think you could help get them done." They wanted some gravel brought in for the playground, and they wanted some other things fixed, and it was a pretty good list, and I had no idea how to do that. It's not that I can't move gravel, but I didn't understand how to get people involved. Oh, by the way, and I'll say it about him, complimenting him, Carlos did a great job of putting together an activity last night, and one of the things he did that was excellent is he got you folks involved. And when folks come and ask you to help, what's the right answer? Yes, I'll help, amen, unless you just can't. And that's a blessing. That gets the work shared amongst other folks. It causes things to go so much better. I didn't understand that back in the 80s. And so I kind of looked at all these things he wanted done, and I thought, I have no idea how to do any of this. And I just didn't do anything. And I guess a year went by, and I kind of knew I dropped the ball, and they kind of knew I dropped the ball. It wasn't so much that there was something wrong with me or something wrong with them. I just didn't know what to do. Sometimes when we put expectations on people and they don't know what to do, they're not likely to have a good outcome. That doesn't mean they can't serve God later. That doesn't mean they can't grow. That doesn't mean that they... And think this for yourself, if you would. There are some things that you can do now that you couldn't have done years ago. And there are some things that you can't do now, especially younger people, that you'll be able to do years from now. I remember it used to scare me to death to teach a 10-minute Sunday school lesson. I thought, how on earth can anybody stand up there and talk for half an hour and say anything that makes a difference? Well, then I found out the Bible makes a difference. And if you just tell folks what the Bible says, you're in good shape. But, you know, we can grow, can't we? Amen? And doesn't God want us to grow? Amen. So sometimes people, there's contention comes from some bad places because we give up on folks or whatever. There are some noble reasons for contention. When we want to do the work and find someone else to be a hindrance, that can be a source of contention. Or when we have a vision and others can't see it or won't go along with it. When we withdraw, sometimes we have to withdraw from disorderly brethren. That's from 2 Thessalonians 3:6, and that's what happened here, I think, is John Mark was out of order. And Paul said, I can't work with that, and he pulled away from him. Again, right or wrong, we'll talk about that in a second. Or sometimes we are commanded to take a stand because of a doctrinal separation. Romans 16 says, mark them which cause divisions and avoid them. Well, there are reasons for contention. Now, I just find this kind of exciting to see. Don't you think, first of all, Paul had a noble, worthwhile, exciting purpose, if you will. Let's go check on the churches. This ought to be a slam dunk. This is just something. Let's go do it. Barnabas says, let's take John Mark. And the devil somewhere in there thought, I'm going to get the upper hand here. Folks, don't give the devil the upper hand. One thing they didn't do, they didn't quit, did they? They found a way to keep on going, even when it meant we have to go separate ways. Sometimes God might use contention in that way to get us to go separate ways. But whatever happened there, I do not believe that either of them forsook God's word. They did not refuse to forgive. They didn't become bitter. They just simply couldn't work together, and they went separate directions. Sometimes contentions can be avoided, and sometimes they can't. God used this contention to double the size of the missionary team, and it did not change a thing. They still loved one another. They're commanded to do that. They still were desiring to edify one another. They did have the command to do that as well. So, real quick, and we're going to be done early tonight, what was the outcome of all this? Now, I remember the first time I saw this, I got pretty excited about it. Some of you have seen it, maybe some of you have not. But let's just back up a little bit and look at John Mark from beginning to end. We saw it was his mother's house where they're praying for Peter. We know Barnabas is related to him. There's a cousin relationship there. And we know he's saved. So here's what happens. If you go to Acts chapter, if you look at chapter 16 and verse 38, verse 39, Paul says, no, we're not going to do this. But go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, you may know 2 Timothy is towards the end of Paul's life, whereas this second missionary journey is quite early, much or more early on. 2 Timothy 4 is one of the last things that Paul writes. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll just start reading here. He's writing to Timothy. He says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens has departed to Galatia, and Titus has departed unto Dalmatia. But look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Now watch this. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Something changed, didn't it? There was a day when Paul said, let's go on a missionary journey. And Mark said, I want to go. And then not too far into that journey, Mark said, I don't want to go. And he went back home. And then there was a day when Paul said, hey, Barnabas, let's go see how the churches are doing. And Barnabas says, great, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, no, let's not. No resolution to that. They go separate ways. Paul did not desire to have John Mark with him. And now some time elapses. Decades, actually. And now towards the end of Paul's life, something has changed. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, take Mark, bring him with thee. He is profitable to me for the ministry. Philemon 1:24 names Mark once again. Now here's what's interesting. Paul was going to give up on this young man. Paul, was going to give up on this young man. Not just anybody, Paul. Paul said, he's not the man for the work. Barnabas says, no, I want to give him another chance. I'll take him with me. Now think about that a minute. I see people get saved, and sometimes it's discouraging because you just can't get them in church. I visited a couple of people on Friday night, and one of them I have been visiting, and I just can't get him back in church. He'll tell me, I'll be there, and then he won't be here. And again, that's happened. Find somebody and be that Barnabas to them. Just don't give up on them. Just keep on trying. Now, the end of the story, you should know. You ever thought about the names of the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark. This fella was of use to God, wasn't he? I don't know a whole lot of folks that wrote a gospel, just know four of them, and he's one of them. So, was Barnabas right? Okay. Was Paul wrong? I'm not going to say. I think somehow or another the Lord saw how to use what the devil tried to make a problem and turn it into a blessing. God can do that. Amen? But it took some Christian maturity to accomplish that. It took a situation where Paul and Barnabas said, all right, we can't agree on this. You go that way, I'll go this way. They did not become enemies. They did not stop the work. They didn't run around talking about how bad the other one was. They just went out and kept on serving God. And sometimes the devil will try to throw a lemon or into the works. And when the devil throws lemons at you, make lemonade. Amen? Just keep on going. Matthew, Mark. Mark's profitable for me, Paul said. And so this little piece of contention, which could have been a huge issue, turned out to be a great blessing. And again, Barnabas had something on the ball there. He had something going right because he's the one that said, let's not give up on this young man. Let's keep trying. Folks, don't give up. And don't give up on other people as well. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.